Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
And I'm Tina, and we want to welcome you to the Super Bowl. Go Patriots! Woo!
Babe.
What?
I think what you meant to say is we want to welcome them to Evanston Avenue this morning.
Right. We want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue this morning.
We're glad you're here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been here for ages, there is a place for you here at Evanston.
That's right, and with more info on how you can get connected, here's...
Put this on.
I'm not putting that on.
Why? Because it's pink? Real men wear pink.
Not because it's pink. Pink isn't the problem. Real Lions fans don't wear Patriots apparel.
You're going to put this on.
You're going to have to make me.
Here's Daniel. Come here.
Hi, I'm Daniel. It's a new year, and if you're looking to try something new or get involved again after the break, then we have the perfect next step for you here at Evanston. If you're a kid in fifth grade or below, then you are definitely going to want to check out Bible Times Club, Sunday nights at 6, downstairs with Mr. Darren and his crew. Mr. Darren puts together some really cool activities, games, and Bible studies built just for you guys. You can talk to him to get more information. For everyone in 6th through 12th grade, then you want to head upstairs on Sunday nights at 6 to join Joy and her team for Hype. We have a ton of fun with worship, Bible studies, and some really great adventures. Finally, for you adults, we have a number of ways to get connected with our men's and women's Bible studies and our monthly fellowship dinners. Or, if you want to try something new, you can check out our life groups. We have 3 new life groups opening up this month, so talk to Pastor Matt, Jonathan, or Jeremy for more information. So there you go. No matter where you're at in your journey, there's a next step for you here at Evanston.
You know, Keith, I was looking at the bulletin and there's some really important information in here.
Oh, sorry. I know. When I want to know what's going on with the church, I always check the bulletin. And when I want to get in touch with the church, I fill out that connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Well, that's perfect. So why don't you fill that out and leave it on the pew? And you guys out there can do that as well. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you're definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things we would like to share with you.
That's right. Tonight is the Hype Super Bowl party right here at the church at 6 p.m. We'll have leaders here for the entirety of the game, so if you're in 6th through 12th grade, come out and enjoy a night of fun and fellowship.
On February 25th, we will be having another chili cook-off in Norton Pines Fitness Club with Grace Memorial and Grace Assembly of God. It will be from 5 to 8 p.m.
To help offset the cost of renting the building, there will be a charge this year. It's $3 a person or $10 for a family of four.
For the junior and senior high, Intersect is coming up on March 16th through the 17th. You must be registered by February 25th, so make sure you talk to Joy for more information.
And finally, it may be early, but we need volunteers for VBS. It'll be here sooner than we think, and it's never too early to start preparing. If you feel God leading you in this area, please talk to Joy.
All right, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, We Are the Church, with his sermon, Your Will Be Done. Pink looks good on you. Is wearing the shirt really that bad?
I'm a Lions fan. This goes against everything I believe in.
Like losing?
Here's Pastor Matt. I'm only wearing this because I love you.
No, you're only wearing it because I made you.
I think that is like my all-time favorite video now. Thanks, guys. You know, next time, just wear the one, that t-shirt from when the Lions won the Super Bowl. That'd be fine. All like I can talk, because the Bears haven't won like since last century, so that's all good. All right, as our ushers are coming forward, we're going to pray for the offering. We're going to dig into God's Word together, of course. And just want to encourage you guys. I'll be talking about it each of the weeks just to invite you guys. We got together with Grace Memorial Baptist and Grace Assembly of God last year at Norton Pines. We're doing that again this year. We're hanging out with two churches named Grace, so we need more grace than the average Baptist church. I don't know, but we had a ton of fun last year. We rent the pool, we have the gym, the climbing wall, games, and all that fun stuff. So get your favorite chili. There's signups on the back for desserts and sides, and if you want your chili to be judged, we have a whole new panel of judges, and it'll be fun. So, and a great time of fellowship. This is also, by the way, the reason we do this, it is a great opportunity as well. If there's somebody that you would love to kind of introduce to church folk who may not want to come to church for whatever reason, but you want them to see how awesomely weird we are, this is also a great chance to bring those people in just so they can kind of experience some of the fun and fellowship before they join us for worship sometime. So February 25th, last Sunday of the month, please mark your calendars. We'll see you then. So let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, and Lord, we just know that you've lavished everything upon us. Lord, you have lavished a ton of snow on us. We thank you for that, and we're good. But Father, for everything else that you have just blessed us with, we give back to you a small piece of what that is. Lord, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given, and Lord, we just ask that you take everything that we have provided and use it to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you guys. Well, as we do this, a couple of quick things. First of all, if you want to take notes, as always, put Acts 17:11 at the top. So any word that is from me, of course, we want to test that against God's word, and every word that is from the word of God and inconsistent step with that, we apply that to our lives always. So this morning, we have to start off with a bit of a trip down memory lane. Are you guys ready for this? If you weren't alive in the 80s, this is a trip to nowhere. You know, for the rest of us, though, this is kind of the test. Anybody know who this is? There it is. No, it's not Pokemon. This is the Russian stand-up comedian Yakov Smirnov, who was, it's kind of something only the 80s could produce, a stand-up comedian from Soviet Russia. I mean, that's the only place in time that could ever happen. After the Cold War ended and all of his joke material dried up, he entered into Branson, Missouri, or as we call it, Vegas for Christians, and had a theater there for a long time. And he actually closed that theater in 2015. I didn't know that. He went and got a master degree in positive psychology, and now he does like TED Talks about how laughter is such a good thing for a relationship. And I didn't know that. It was kind of cool. Learned something new. It was great. Well, not the laughter part, but just that he was doing that was great. But I love some of his old humor because he would talk about what it was like to come to America from Russia. And he would do this one bit where he would say, you know, that he was walking through the grocery store and he saw milk powder, which was great because you just add water to the milk powder and you get milk. And then he saw that there was orange juice powder and you add water to that and you get orange juice. Then he was walking somewhere else and he saw baby powder. And he's like, what a country! Oh, you instant babies. It was great. And I just love that joke because it just reminds us of how instantaneous we want things to be. Amen? You know, there it is. We've got it. And it shows up in some, you know, just this instantaneous mentality that we have shows up everywhere. It really does. Right now, we're all going, that looks like lunch. That looks like lunch. Now, with the exception of Taco Bell, which is always kind of in a category by itself, amen? You know, you'll notice that pretty much every single fast food restaurant has red and yellow in their logo. Do you know why? It makes us go faster. They've actually studied like what different colors do, and red and yellow make people more excited and move faster. Because we really need two Whoppers, don't we? and eat them as quickly as possible so we can leave and just kind of go, oh. And they actually started testing this, like doing actual psychological experiments on this. And they would gather a group of test subjects over here and a group of test subjects over here. And they would give them both a task, something, you know, ridiculous, like do a crossword puzzle. That was the only instruction. Just do the crossword puzzle. Do the word search. You over here, group one, group two. But in group two, they put logos from all the fast food restaurants in the room. Just the logo. And what they found is that the group that was in the logo room tried to accomplish every task faster just because they saw McDonald's. I gotta go fast. Because again, if we wait more than 5 minutes for a Big Mac, there's a problem. Amen? It may not be fully on the bun. You unwrap it like the burger's kind of over here, but we got it now. We have an instant mindset in our culture. Amen? Now, last week, and I bring this up because last week we were talking about the fact that there is an end to all history that is coming. Amen? Jesus is going to return, and before that time, all of us will meet a personal end. And as a result, that should inform how we function as the church. And this morning, I want us to dive into a slightly different place. We're going to talk about God's will being done. We're going to talk about church living. And in order to do that, I want you to join me in James chapter 5. Okay, so in light of all that, because one would think, the assumption would be that we as Christians, we should learn from the fast food industry. We would think that would be a good thing because we know that Jesus is coming back, and it could be today. I personally think that Jesus will return on the Sunday when the Lions are about to win the Super Bowl. Right in the fourth quarter. Really? You couldn't wait? Just a few minutes. I could be wrong. That's just my hunch. Just my hunch. But we would think that knowing Jesus could return at any time, that we should be doing our thing as Christians as quickly as we can, because time is running out. Correct? Well, let's jump into James chapter 5. We're going to start reading actually at verse 7. As we start talking about how we can live in a kingdom way where God's will is being done in our life. So here we go. James 5 verse 7. It starts out with a very interesting word. Well, two of them. It says, be patient. Be patient. Even though we don't know when Jesus is coming back, even though none of us knows when our last day will be, what Jesus is saying through James is saying, be patient, brethren, until the Lord's coming. And so as you look at that verse, as you see that it has this whole reference again to the Lord's return. He is coming back. We don't know when, so the best thing we can do is hurry up and be patient. Be patient. And I want to go through this chapter, through We're going to go through verse 16 this morning. And what I want us to do is I want us to see from this passage that there are actually three very important relationships that James is talking about that we need to be focusing on until Jesus' return. These are going to be the three relationships that we have to hurry up and be patient about while we wait for the end of history. So kind of keep your eyes on this. So let's check this out. I'm going to read through it. So, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. And then he gives an example. It says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. Brethren, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. And as you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And so what James is doing here, you know, we've read a lot from Paul, we've read a lot from John, and James is, he has a different way of writing. You can see he's a little bit choppier in how he writes. But what he's saying to us is we need to be patient, and then he lifts up to us this example. And he throws in a couple, he throws in the prophets, throws in Job. But I want us to see this as an important relationship that we need to be focusing on until the Lord's return. Here it is. Okay, and this is going to sound weird, but our relationship to ourselves. Because when James is saying, be patient then, brothers, that's a command for me. That's a command for you. As we're coming into our relationship with the Lord, we have to be mindful of the relationship that we have with us. I don't know a better way of putting it. Maybe it's my psychological bent. I don't know, but that's the way it says. And it gives this example. Go ahead, Jackson, to the next one. He says, be patient like a farmer. And I just thought that that was an interesting example. My father-in-law is a farmer, and it is amazing to me to watch farmers work. Because for a lot of their summer, a lot of their year, there's nothing that really they can do. Amen? I mean, they're just waiting. Stuff's popping up or not. But what also amazes me is that while they're waiting for this crop, I have never once seen a lazy farmer. You ever notice that? And so this command for us, as I'm looking at my walk with the Lord, my interaction with Him, my first command is to be patient like a farmer, which I believe means this, that I need to be constantly active, constantly working towards the harvest with the complete confidence and expectation that the harvest will get there. Amen? I'm working on a daily basis, whatever that is, whatever needs to be done around the farm in this moment, I am faithfully being active, trusting fully that the expected return will get there. And that means a couple different things for us. It means for me personally, as I look at my life, I can tell you I'm not the man that I want to be right now, just personally. I'm more like Jesus now than I was before, but I still have a long way to go. I know at some point in time, I will step out of this life into eternity. I'll be in the presence of the Lord, and I'll hear those words that says, well done, good and faithful servant, and then I'll get there. The harvest in my life will be completed. I will be like Him. Amen. I'm okay whenever it happens. We'll just leave it that way. Amen. So I know in my life that I need to be patiently active, trusting that the harvest will be there. We as the church, we need to be patiently active, trusting that, even if we don't see the return right away, that it will come. There will be the moment when the harvest is made known. And even in our relationships with each other, am I stealing myself with the fact that even if I'm in a relationship with somebody who's driving me nuts, that God will work it out? I just have to be faithful with my piece of it. Patiently faithful, trusting that the harvest will come. And it's interesting to me that James starts giving all these examples. He gives the example of the farmer. He gives the example of the prophets who were persecuted for their faith. He gives the example of Job who was persecuted. And in all those things, he's saying, be patient, endure, be active, trusting that the harvest is going to get here. God's going to do what He promises He will do. So one of the hallmarks of my relationship with myself as I deal with other people is I'm supposed to be patient, actively working for the certain guarantee of what God is going to do. But he goes on. In verse 12, there's one more piece that we need to fit into this section about a relationship with myself. It says, above all, brothers, my brothers, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. Now, for those of you like me who grew up in an environment where cussing was a very bad thing, some people would latch onto this verse and they would say, don't cuss. Okay, can I be honest? This passage is not saying don't cuss. Okay, it is in the Bible not to do that. Amen. You know, it doesn't give us permission to now have R-rated vocabulary. But that's not what this actual section is talking about. The Greek word for swear here in this place is omnuo, which literally means to call upon some other source, like a witness, like I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the idea here is that I am piling on, trying to justify my word of honor. I'm trying to add flourish to it. And James is just saying, don't swear at all. Don't call on heaven, don't call on earth, don't call on witnesses to your word. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And it boils down very simply this way. Be honest. Be people of integrity. So two of the things that I need to be bringing into my relationship with myself is I need to be a farmer who's patient, actively working to the known ends. And I also need to be a person of righteousness. That when I give my word, I mean it. I have integrity. I don't lie. I'm honest. All of that fits in the category of don't swear. Don't call on someone else to back you up. Let your yes mean yes. Let your no mean no. Be a person of integrity. I think if all of us, I just think of my own life, I think of all of us, if in my relationship with myself I had that kind of patience and that kind of integrity, and if all of us and if all the people in the world had that, we'd be a remarkably different place. Amen? So it starts here with this, like as we are waiting for Jesus' return, the first relationship I need with myself is a relationship of patience and integrity, like a farmer and like the oak of righteousness. He goes on, though, and he says this in verse 13. He says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, his sins will be forgiven. Now, the second relationship that's highlighted here in this verse is a little bit different. We talked about our relationship with ourselves. The second one is this, the relationship that we have to the congregation, to the body of Christ. And we see a couple of very important things in here. First of all, there's this weird thing where it says, is anyone in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. And here's one of the takeaways from this section. This verse is in the context of the relationship of the believers. And what that means is if I'm having a bad day, I need to be the person of integrity to say, no, I'm not really having a great day today. I'm going to be praying about it. Could you pray for me too? Because how often have we as Christians seen people suffer in silence? How many of us have suffered in silence because we can't be open, honest, and authentic with the body of Christ? How you doing? I'm dying on the vine. That's how I'm doing. Dying on the vine. Nope, we don't say that. I'm fine. And what this passage is saying is that if your life is going well, shout and sing and rejoice because God is good. Let people know. And if you're having trouble, not that we're going to trumpet our problems to the world, but here in the context of the body of Christ, can we be honest and authentic with each other? And just say, no, I'm not going to get into it right now, but just pray for me. I'm having a terrible time right now. Okay, I don't need no details. I'll be praying for you. Let me know what you need. And it goes one step further in the next verse and says, if you're sick, call the elders. For several reasons. One, we're not psychic. We're also not prophetic. We're not that kind of church. If somebody's sick, tell us. And I love the response. We as the elders, we as the pastors of the church, we get to go and we get to pray for people and anoint them with oil. We don't just mean that in the symbolic sense. That was a very, very specific thing that was being talked about. When the elders would come and pray, that is to take care of the spiritual needs, and anointing with oil was a way of doing medicine in those days. If you go back and check the story of the Good Samaritan, when the Samaritan came along and saw a guy who had been beaten to a bloody pulp on the side of the road, he anointed that person with wine and oil. It was a type of medicine. And so part of what we do as a church is we help people if we can. We pray for them for their spiritual needs. If there's a way we can help them with their physical needs, we do that too. That's one of the reasons why we take a benevolent offering. But the key thing for me is as I'm in relationship with the congregation, I need to let them know what's going on in my life. I need to let them know. This is where I need prayer. This is where I need a song of praise. Here's where I need the elders just to come and pray for me because I need somebody to step into my life and offer prayer. That's part of my relationship with the congregation. Who do you have in this church that you can do this with? Who do you have, people of Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, who do you have here in this congregation that you can just say, you know what? I'm having a rough time right now. Please pray for me. Life is great. I just need somebody to celebrate with me. Sometimes that's just as important. Amen? Life's going awesome. All right, let's hit the bowling alley. We're going to roll a few. Yes. I'm discovering that one of the love languages of Evanston is bowling. Amen? Also chili, end of the month, just saying. Who do you have? One of the reasons why we do life groups and invite people into life groups is it's not always good here in this setting for everyone to stand up and say, my life's terrible, please pray for me. But in the context of a small group, in the context of the relationship of this church, do we have someone who knows that we're in trouble and should pray? Who knows that life is going well and that we need to be celebrated? I encourage you, if you don't have that, please find that group. Let's not be the church where we're dying on the vine, suffering in silence, whatever it might be. Amen? I've known a lot of people. You're supposed to abide in Christ, he's the true vine, and I'm feeling like a raisin on a grapevine. No. Let's not be that church. The last relationship that we have is one that to me is probably one of my greatest struggles, just to be bluntly honest with you. So we have a relationship to ourselves to be patient, to be people of integrity, which is challenging enough. We have a relationship to the congregation to be authentic and to be able to share with the people. But then there's this third relationship that we see in this passage that's a relationship that we have with one brother or sister in Christ. Let's check this out, what it says here. It says, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. This is a tough one, my friends. Because I don't know about you, but I know for me, there's kind of those layers of personal sharing that I'm willing to do. Even as the guy who enjoys standing up on stage, and I'm willing to share maybe a little bit more just because this is, you know, God wired me that way, I don't know. We all still have those layers of what am I going to share to a group of strangers? What would I share to a group of close friends, like a life group? But then there's those things that are the dark spots in our heart. Who do we have that we can share that with? Because when it says confess your sins to one another, you know, we've done some weird things with that throughout the course of church history. Our Catholic friends, they interpreted that verse as you need to go to the priest and confess your sins. I'm fine with people confessing to a pastor or a priest or an elder or somebody else. We don't need the funny little phone booth with the thing, you know, and talk to the guy on the other side. We don't have to do it that way. There's nothing wrong with that, but we don't have to do that. But the idea here is that we have somebody with whom we can be completely honest. And we can say, this is the junk, this is the dark, icky stuff that I don't want anybody else to see. My friends, that is a scary thing. It is a scary thing for me as a pastor. I struggle with that because it's tough to find folks to be open and vulnerable with. So I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not struggling with as well. But it is so important for us. Do you have someone of your same gender that you can confess your junk to, who will love you, who will correct you and encourage you, who will pray for you? And in those moments, just to be the ministers of God's grace that say, you know what? It's going to be okay. God loves you, and so do I. It is a terrifying thing to do, my friends, to show anyone the deepest recesses of your heart and say, here's all the ugly. We're a good-looking bunch of people, amen? We like putting the happy face on. It's tough to open it up and go, just look a little bit. If you do not have somebody, a brother or sister in Christ, whether they go to this church or go to another church, have somebody in your life that you can have that type of conversation with, and that they can have it with you and you can have it with them. Because if we really want to be the church that is working patiently, expectantly, knowing that God will in fact bring about an awesome, bountiful spiritual harvest in our lives individually and our church corporately, we need to be the congregation that has those relationships. I have that active patience in my life. I have a person of integrity to the best of my abilities. That we can have the group of people around us that we can have authentic community with. And that I have that brother or sister in Christ that I can absolutely share the deep... And guys, I know that doesn't happen overnight. But we can share the deep parts of our lives and say, I need you, my brother, you, my sister, to speak into that place. The more we have that, I believe, the more strength we will have as a church. The more transformation God will bring. Because I love this last line where it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the expectation here is as we do these things, we experience healing. We all need healing. Amen? I need healing. You need healing. Wherever we're at in our journey with Christ, we celebrate where He's taken us, knowing we still have a long way to go. And all the way, God wants to bring healing into our lives so that we can be a better and better witness to His grace and His glory. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we praise You. We thank You for calling us into relationships. We thank You for calling us into a relationship with You. We thank You for placing us in this community, whereas we look to ourselves to be the patient and patient people and people of integrity, as we look to our congregation to be authentic in our community, and as we look to find that brother or sister with whom we can be transparent, Father, we just ask for Your blessing. We want to be the people that are working expectantly for the returns that You have promised. So give us an active patience to do that. Lord Jesus, we lift this up in Your name, I pray. Amen. My friends, I'm wondering, we have a few less of us today. I know this will challenge some of us. Can you guys move? I want you guys in this section right here. Come forward. There's not many of us today. If you can, if you're able, come up. Leave the front row open, please. If the people serving communion could be in the front row, that would be fantastic. It's okay. God will bless you in your original seating next week, too, but let's have the communion servers up front, please. Everyone else, if you're able. If not, that's okay. We love you. Just if we can. Go ahead and grab a seat if you can. Good there. We'll make it work. Guys, I know normally when we serve communion, we have everyone here, we have a bigger crowd, we have to do it a little bit more formally, but just looking out there just reminded me of this, that when Jesus did the Last Supper, it wasn't a formal bunch of people standing in a bunch of rows. It was the people that he loved in the world. He had just washed their feet and said, I love you this much. And so it wasn't rows, it wasn't formality, it was gathering around the dinner table. And he was saying, this is what you need to know. This is how much I love you. Not only that I would wash your feet, I love you so much that I don't even call you my servants, I call you my friends, I call you my brothers, my sisters. And out of that love for you, out of that love for me, Jesus said that he would go to the cross. Because the image we have of the bread and the wine is the bread is the body of Christ that was broken. And as his body was whipped and flailed, as his skin was split open, he said, I do this because I love you. I love my friends. I love the people made in my image. And yes, my friends, he knows how messed up we are. He washed Judas's feet. He knows how messed up we are. And as the blood poured out of his body, he gave us the juice to remember as every drop of his blood was spilled to purchase every drop of yours. For one reason, he loves you. And he wants you to gather around the table in heaven when we celebrate and we rejoice that we're home with him forever. So I can't look out at this big room where we're scattered because we're few today. Just wanted us to be a little bit closer this morning. These are the brothers, these are the sisters gathered in this place to hear these words. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. For you. Each of you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood the Lord. A person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. My friends, our tradition is let's just pause just as a family for a minute. You and the Lord have a moment. We got some stuff to confess. Confess it. Let's confess. come into the table together in just a minute. This morning, my friends, I make Psalm 51 our prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know that my transgressions and my sin is always before you, before me. And against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Surely I was sinful at birth from the time that my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Lord, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord Jesus, we know that you have created a clean heart in us through your work on the cross when you came out of the tomb, when you proclaimed, "It is finished." So Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning that our sins are taken away from us, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And all God's people said, amen. My friends, as we have been made clean, let us remember the sacrifice that gave us a new heart in Jesus Christ.
Oh, come to me.
Beloved, the body of Christ was broken for you. Take, eat, remember, and believe that all of our sins were taken away. Brothers and sisters, take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for the complete forgiveness of every one of our sins. Lord Jesus, as we gather here as your beloved brothers and sisters, part of your family, part of your household, we thank you for the depth of your love. The love that said, come close. You who are weary and heavy laden, come close. Your sins are taken away. There's a place for you at the table of the King. So Jesus, we marvel at your grace. We marvel at your sacrifice. We're blown away by the depth of your love. Thank you for calling us your beloved. Thank you for making us your family. Lord Jesus, receive the worship that we are about to offer you because you are the good and mighty Savior. We love you and we praise you. And we look forward to seeing you whenever the time is right. We lift this up and all God's people said, amen. Beloved in the Lord, as we have been fed at his table, let's stand, let's celebrate as we build this kingdom here.
Yeah. nations heart news, the hurt, the sick, the poor, and peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray that will your kingdom hear? Let the darkness fear. Show your
addition to the praise team. My friends, let us pray. Father, as we go from this place, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you for calling us your own. We thank you for bringing us into your fellowship. And Lord, may we leave this place bearing your name in every place that we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I know it's Super Bowl, and I know we all have things to do, but if there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, I'll be around. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in all things give you peace. Amen. Amen. Go in God's peace.